Good morning. This is Carol Knier, your Community Health Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital, bringing you HealthWorks. Remember, if you have an idea or a suggestion you'd like to hear on the radio, please give me a call at 570-253-8422. And remember, if you missed this show, you can now view it or listen to it on WMH.org or on the podcast now. That's something new, so I have to get used to that, on WDNH podcast. So we update that weekly. So on today's show, I have two guests. I have Dr. Sean McVeigh. Good morning, Dr. McVeigh.
Good morning, Carol.
And I have Tina Cobb. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
And both of them work for the Honesdale Pulmonology Office. Dr. McVeigh is the chief pulmonologist at Wayne Memorial Hospital. He's also the medical director of Wayne Memorial ICU and the COVID-19 task force, right? Did I get it all?
Yep.
He just keeps adding more and more on. He definitely is a doctor who's very committed to our community. And then I have Tina Cobb. Tina, you work primarily in the Honesdale Pulmonology Office, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're a certified nurse practitioner,
yes.
Right? Okay, great. So, you know, I invited both of you here today to talk on the radio because of it is Respiratory Care Week, right?
Yes.
And, you know, this is something that we really need to do year-round. But, you know, nowadays with COVID-19 and people with respiratory issues, there's many, many things to worry about. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, can you kind of give our audience, what do you do here? Like, what does a pulmonologist do? You know, who needs to come to your office and see you guys?
So Tina and I are specialized in the diagnosis and treatment of respiratory disorders. And the most common ones that we'll see that have a name with associated with them is COPD, also known as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or commonly talked about as emphysema or chronic bronchitis. Another very common disorder that we'll treat and see in the office is asthma, in addition to things like pulmonary fibrosis and other occupational or environmental lung diseases. In addition, I know it's Respiratory Care Week and we're focusing on that, but we also do sleep medicine and take care of primarily sleep disorder breathing and sleep apnea here in the office. As a specialty practice, we're referral driven. So if a patient has symptoms, and the most common symptoms that would encompass respiratory disorders tend to be a persistent cough. So we designate a chronic cough as a cough that has been present more days than not for at least 6 weeks. So if you have this cough that's not associated with your seasonal allergies or your known acid reflux, that would be something that we would see in the office to do an evaluation for. In addition, if you have recurrent respiratory infections, if you have any types of wheezing in the chest or any concerns that you possibly could have asthma, or if you have a smoking history, either a current tobacco history or a past history, and now you're starting to get more frequent bronchitis episodes or more shortness of breath with activities, these are things that you would benefit from seeing a pulmonologist for. And the steps you would want to take is first, if it's an emergency or an acute episode, you'd want to call either 911 or go to the local or closest emergency room. If it's more of a chronic problem that's just been lingering and you're not unsure of what it is, you'd want to discuss that first with your primary care doctor and see if there's any test that they would want to order first, or have them take a listen to your lungs and see if it's something that could be managed very simply with an antibiotic or something. And if the primary care doctor feels that you would benefit from seeing a specialist, they'll make the necessary steps of getting you referred to our office, where you either see myself or Tina, both equally qualified to evaluate and treat these problems.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of that, so, you know, if someone does have the, you know, pulmonary or breathing or any kind of issue that they do need to come to your office, you know, they may see either you, Dr. McVeigh, or you, Tina, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Tina, so if you have a patient that comes in, say for asthma, what are some of the steps that you may do, or COPD? Like, would you do a good evaluation, or do you ask them questions about their history?
So the first thing I like to start out with is I always ask my patients, if they have any questions or concerns, because I feel like they're the ones living in their body. Usually that's what's most important. If I can address that right away, it relaxes them, and then we're able to have a better give and take. And then I go, how long have the symptoms been going on? What have you tried in the past? And how much is it interfering with your daily life? You know, and those are, so we'll start asking questions, everything from sinus and allergy, smoking history. Doctor talked about the work environment, but also in this area, there's a lot of wood heat, kerosene heat, things that kind of actually flare people. Also, we talk about their swallowing, heartburn, right. Any new meds that they've been on. We just go down through the history, and that's where we start.
Right. And then we were talking a little bit before the show. Once you do have an establishment with that patient, follow-up is really important for them, right?
Right.
So you mentioned one important fact about COVID-19 and these individuals that have these respiratory conditions. What is so important? What do you see as a main point for them?
For us, a lot of the quad I had said that controlled asthma, no greater risk for COVID. So that's one of the things we've been sharing with our patients. So stay on your maintenance inhalers, stay on your allergy medicines if you need them. Definitely stay up to date on vaccines. So get your flu vaccine. If you're eligible, get the pneumonia vaccine. Those are the things that we really reinforce.
Right, correct. And I know, Dr. McVeigh, we were talking about the pneumonia shot. There are two different types out there, correct?
Correct. There's the one that's been around the longest, that has the name of the Pneumovax, and then the relatively newer one is called the Prevnar 13. It's important to know that these vaccines target bacterial pneumonias of the most severe variety. So getting the vaccine doesn't absolve the risk of getting pneumonia. It just reduces your chances of acquiring one of these more severe pneumonias that are associated with fatalities. If you have an underlying respiratory disorder, such as emphysema, chronic bronchitis, or asthma, we recommend getting the Pneumovax at or around the time of your diagnosis. Otherwise, if you have no underlying respiratory issues, that'll be part of your over 65 vaccination schedule. The Prevnar 13 currently is recommended for patients 65 or older. There are a few exceptions when we would consider giving it at a younger age, but none of the respiratory conditions I mentioned would be one of those exceptions at this time. We provide these vaccines along with the flu shot here at the office, but also any of the primary care offices in the WMCHC will provide these vaccines as well for patients. And it's very important, not only for flu season in this time of the year, but especially with the added risk of COVID, to be up to date on all of your immunizations, vaccines, and stay on the medicines that you've been prescribed. Another timely question with patients with respiratory disorders is masking and the concerns of wearing a mask with a respiratory disorder. There's no added risk of CO2 retention or limitations in oxygen. However, you will have to work a little bit harder at breathing through a mask depending on what material it is. And some patients may find that to be uncomfortable or claustrophobic or distressing. If you need to go out and need to be in an environment where you're not sure of the people you will encounter, it's better to wear the mask than not to wear the mask to reduce your risk. But in addition, we recommend taking your albuterol rescue inhaler 15 minutes before putting your mask on. Just like we would tell you to take your rescue inhaler 15 to 20 minutes before doing a strenuous activity, or if you were going into an environment that knows that you know triggers your asthma or your COPD symptoms, do that before you put your mask on and go out grocery shopping or go to your doctor's appointment. That will improve your respiratory function and make it so you don't feel as restricted or limited when you have to wear that mask. And it'll give you about 2 to 4 hours of added relief. And so that's something safe to do.
Right. And these are just really important recommendations for individuals out there, because you do. You know, if you have any respiratory, you know, diseases or problems, you get nervous going out there. And so, you know, definitely these individuals we talked about, they should get their flu shot, right?
Absolutely.
And of course, if they have any concerns or hesitations, talk to a primary care physician.
Exactly. Engage in that conversation with your primary care doctor and see if there are any reasons you shouldn't have the flu shot. And if that's the case, then, you know, we would tell you to wear a mask anyway, and continue with good hand washing, avoid people that have symptoms or are sick. You know, a lot of our patients now are sort of second parents, where they're helping their children take care of the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And those kids are exposed to other kids. And so, you know, it puts those older patients at increased risk of getting the flu. And so, again, very important for them with the hand washing. If the child's sick, don't drop them off at the grandparents' house that day. You know, especially if they're not getting vaccinated or they have other medical problems, because, you know, the flu is compounded with these other medical conditions, especially this time of year.
Right. And there are some specific differences between COVID-19 and the flu, right? We see, Tina, can you talk a little bit about maybe, I mean, I know it's hard, but is there testing now, though, that we can tell whether or not it's COVID-19 or maybe of flu or an influenza?
So we do have different testing. We have an entire respiratory panel with a bunch of viruses that are around every year. We definitely have the flu testing and we have COVID testing. But, you know, one of the things that we hear about is, I want the COVID test. A lot of times, even if you have it, it doesn't always show positive. So you still have to be considerate and cautious if you think you've got a known risk and still isolate. So that's one of the things I want people to understand, is just because it's negative doesn't mean you don't have to protect other people and right. still watch yourself for symptoms. Because even if you're asymptomatic, you go see grandma, that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now, you know, with some individuals have their children or grandchildren who went away to college, now they're going to be coming back for Thanksgiving break. A lot of the schools are kind of stopping at that Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. allowing them to come home and stay home and do it virtually. So, you know, maybe some recommendations would be maybe to have those students quarantine for 14 days.
Dr. Fauci last week spoke at length about this concern with Thanksgiving and then winter break. Approaching an influx of college-age students and families coming in, and he really pushed to kind of look at a limited gatherings, looking at social distancing. You know, we tend not to socially distance or hand wash as much in our own homes because we feel that we're living here and these people that we're, you know, associating with are at low risk. But if they're leaving the house or if mm-hmm. they've been gone for some time and now are coming back, there is just high risk as that stranger you run into at the grocery store. And so, you know, for these college students that are coming back, we're really, you know, advocating quarantining and, you know, using enhanced social distancing, masking at the, you know, the gatherings when you're at mm-hmm. home. I mean, it feels odd to wear a mask in your house when my kids come to visit me, you know, on their, you know, they live in different cities around the country. We wear masks the whole time that they're mm-hmm. there for the visit. And it's just something we have to do to protect one another. And
right.
You know, if we really want to get through the holiday season as unscathed as possible, continuing on with this, you know, the masking, good hand washing, and social distancing can be very important.
Right. I mean, it just gives you the opportunity to see your family, but safely
and
when right. you do all
Open
of these.
Open up the house, air it out.
Right.
That's a good point.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And get the people outside walking. A lot of our people are like, oh, I'm staying inside. And the studies show, get outside, get some fresh air. Mm-hmm. That's really good for you.
So,
and we'd be remiss mm-hmm. in a respiratory care week and talking about the lungs if we didn't address the elephant in the room, which is, what can we do to prevent? And so, unlike a lot of diseases and in specialties, our practice is mostly prevention. Once you have these diagnoses, we're managing symptoms. And so the biggest way you can prevent getting something like COPD, emphysema, or chronic bronchitis is not to smoke. And when I say not smoke, I say all smoke. Mm-hmm. And vaping is directly associated with that. There is no safe way to put anything into your lungs except oxygen. And so if you are smoking, we strongly recommend that you quit. There is no age at which quitting smoking is not a benefit at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we implore you to talk to your family doctor about ways that you can get to a tobacco-free state. There are many, many pathways to that, and the pathway that works for you is the one that's going to work for you. So what worked for your friend or your neighbor may not necessarily work mm-hmm. for you, and don't get frustrated with that. There is a way to quit smoking, and we support and strongly advocate that for all of our patients. The next best thing you can do for your lungs is exercise. And again, there's no limit to exercise as far as what's a benefit. If you're on the treadmill for 10 minutes, that's 10 more minutes than not being on the treadmill. And doing that each day is going to keep those lungs vibrant, working and moving, and they're going to work for you. And then the third thing is, if we tend to forget, is our hobbies. You know, if you're doing hobbies that involve particulates, dust, painting, things like that, you want to wear protective gear that's at least the minimum requirements that are established by the manufacturer in a well-ventilated setting and mm-hmm. situation. You know, you may feel that those fumes and toxins on a very limited basis aren't causing damage, but, you know, repeated exposures to that will show up in time. The problem with our lungs is they're very resilient. So the damage we're doing today isn't going to show up for 20 years. And so, you know, that's why smoking in your teens, you're not getting emphysema in your teens. You're getting emphysema in your 50s and 60s. And a lot of the patients that we see have quit 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they were smoking when they were younger, and that's what set them up for that. So if you're not smoking, don't start. And if you are smoking, work to quit.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, can you believe, unfortunately, we're out of time. I know we could probably talk for another 15 minutes. So Dr. McVeigh, Tina, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having
us. Really important topics. Again, this is Carol Kinnear, Community Health Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. If you have any questions ever or on today's show, please give me a call at 570-253-8422. And thank you for listening.